it's happened to almost every one of us. We were in a hurry, and we turned the shower on, and the hot water is not working. And so we wait, realize we're going to have to take a cold shower. We're in a hurry. We jump into the car. Battery's dead. We are getting ready for dinner, and the stove won't work. The servants that we have purchased, we expect to be faithful. And we consider them to be
our faithful servants. And so when we look at the things that are coming up on the board, when these things fail, what's our response? Oh, we'll get to it in a few weeks, a few months. No big deal. The air conditioner's not working and it's 100 degrees outside. No, we're going to jump right on it. We expect our utilities, our electronics, we expect them to be faithful to us. And when they fail to be faithful to us, then we discard them. We can't fix them. We're going to discard and we're going to replace them. Now, where did we get that attitude? Is it just a matter of convenience or is there something more involved here? God is a God who is faithful. It's a part of his character. And everything God creates and everything that God is utilizing and using is always faithful to him. And so when we think about our own attitude toward our servants, how does that translate into how he sees me? Am I the same type of servant as that water heater that doesn't work and doesn't get it hot all the time? Or am I the kind of servant that God can rely on? And when we look at the material creation, we see that everything is always faithful. That's how God makes things. God's things don't break. God's things don't fail. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. We can count. Well, let me get one more verse here, and then we can count on these things. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night will not cease. God is a faithful creator. His character is based on faithfulness. Everything that he touches, everything that he has complete control over, has absolute faithfulness. In other words, it's reliable. It always responds exactly the way that God expects, demands, and wants it to. And because of those things, because everything is so fixed and so faithful, that's why we can make all of the technological things that we have. Unfortunately, we have not yet perfected the ability to make our servants always faithful. And sadly, many of us have not perfected our ability to be faithful ourselves. Sometimes God opens doors and we're too busy or we're distracted or something is going on and we don't take advantage of it. And I suspect that God feels the same way about us as we would when our servants don't do what they're supposed to do. When God's involved, where there's no free will, he can depend on it. The sun is never going to wobble. It's never going to fail. It's never going to get too hot. It's never going to cool. The sun remains, it abides, and always will. All of the physical elements of God's creation are like this, and we understand from that that all of God's spiritual principles are just as fixed. When he makes a promise, he's faithful. When he makes a command, he's faithful on his side. And this is something the scriptures are very, very clear on. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. That ought to create an emotional response. That ought to create a sense of entitlement, a sense of gratitude and appreciation to God. Your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Another verse along the same line, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. Now again, brethren, we can completely understand this because we have great expectations for our servants. We expect our car to perform reliably. When it doesn't, we take it to the shop. If the man at the shop says there's nothing we can do, we get rid of it and we get something we can rely on. We want reliable servants. The more important they are to us, the more reliable that they need to be, the more quickly we're going to go out and do something. And so that's an interesting question. Is that what you do when you fall short of God? Do you immediately recognize, I just failed God? And I feel about me like I feel about that thing that failed me, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to try to do better. I think it's very important, brethren, that we recognize these are parables all around us. And as parables, they help to bring to our minds how important faithfulness is. We recognize it in anything we depend on. God needs it from us. The material creation gives it to him. And we, with our own free will, should be willing to do that. But sadly, with our free will, faithfulness is not something God can rely on. Hosea chapter 6, verse 7, like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. You ever thought about Adam being faithless? God gave him one command, and God counted on him to keep that command. Don't eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, I don't know how much he understood about that. I suspect he probably understood more about it than we do. We have Romans chapter 5. We have lots of information throughout the scriptures on what was involved. The book of Ecclesiastes is an entire book dealing with the consequences of Adam's action in the garden. Don't know what he understood, but we do know he was not faithful. And we know that Israel was not faithful. O Israel, what shall I do with you, or to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud. Like the early dew, it goes away. So you get up in the morning, you see that dew all over your plants, and you think to yourself, well, I don't have to water today. No, you have to water today because that dew is not going to accomplish anything and it'll be gone. And God says, that's what I have to deal with Israel. And sadly, that's what God has to deal with churches. And sadly, God has to deal with that with individuals. He's always got to factor in the fact that we may or may not do what needs to be done at that pivotal moment when it should have been done. And so God is counting on us. He has no hands. We have a song in our songbook. Has no hands but our hands. No tongue but our tongues. He needs us. But even Jesus, when he came, it says when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man. For he knew what was in man. And think about the apostles. After 3 years, they all forsook him. He couldn't rely on them the way that they should have been. the relationship between God and ourselves in every level or on every level is determined by our faithfulness, by how much God can rely on us. You know, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of clay and wood. What are we? Can God rely on us? Are we faithful? If an opportunity arises, does God know we'll buy it up? If an opportunity arises and we buy it up, does God know whether we'll see it through or not? Are we the kind of people who can make promises and offer more than we can fulfill? Or are we the kind of people who, once we make a commitment, we're going to keep that commitment regardless? Some can be trusted. My servant Moses is faithful in all my house. I like that. That's a great example. I would like to be like that. That's why, brethren, as we have the opportunity, every local church has the opportunity to be faithful to God, to sing the way we should sing, to worship the way we should worship, to teach what should be taught, to discipline the way that the church should discipline, to create or rebuild the church, because that's our responsibility. Jesus came to build the church, and of course, God was the architect of that church, and Jesus did a perfect job, but he has left us with the blueprints, and each local church is based on the faithfulness of the people, the men and women in that congregation who demand the preacher preach the truth, and the preacher demands that the brethren hear the truth, and we are all working toward this faithfulness. Now, Moses, that's the kind of man that he was. He was always trying to put things together exactly the way the Lord wanted it done. And that's what I love about the Lord's church. That's what I've always appreciated about the Church of Christ wherever I've gone. There's people that are faithful like this. They want the truth. They want to know what they're supposed to do, and they want to do it faithfully. And that's the question as we look in the mirror. Am I one of them? Am I like Moses? What about Abraham? You're the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name of Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him. Isn't that interesting? He'd already seen that Abraham was going to be faithful before he made the covenant. You found his heart faithful and made a covenant with him. Now, there's three things about Abraham. We've talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to spend an enormous amount of time. But I want us to understand that his faithfulness is our faithfulness. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. That's exactly what we have done. When God called through the gospel for us to come out from among them and be separate, for us to live as strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for us to take on his character, his customs, and his lifestyle, we were just like Abraham. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, this was the first step. Abraham was called out of Haran and got to Canaan when he was 75 years old. And he waited. He waited until he was 99 years old before God fulfilled the promise, which was in your seed all nations of the earth were going to be blessed, but he didn't have a seed. But not once did Abraham waver. Not once did he say, I'm going home. I've been had. I've been treated. No, he had confidence in God's faithfulness. That was the foundation of his faithfulness. Because he knew he could trust God, he became one who was trusted. Now, it wasn't just Abraham. These all died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them, welcomed them, and confessed. They were strangers and exiles on the earth. I think this may be the most important aspect of our faithfulness to God, is our recognition that we are strangers, we are exiles, we are aliens. This world is not our home. I love that song. This world is not my home. I think about it a lot and often ask myself the question, is it really not? That's a tough question. This world is not my home, but I live here. And sometimes evil companionship starts to draw me back into that world. And we have to keep pulling ourselves up short because we can't be faithful to God if we want to go back. Now, I didn't quote this next part, but as you keep reading in Hebrews, it says, if they had desired to go back from the country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return, but not without unfaithfulness. Not without violating their promise to God. I spend a lot more time on this than I used to because so many people we baptize today ultimately fall away. I want them to understand the nature of the covenant they're involved in and what God's expectations for their faithfulness is. And Peter's pretty clear. It would be better not to know the way of righteousness than to know and turn back and go back to the country you went out of. So Abraham went out, it says, verse 8, again, that verse. It says, when he was called to go out, he went, and he never looked back. Now, that should be us. Have you ever, you know, I've heard people, you've heard people do this, they talk about sin with almost remorse. I remember those days. It's almost like the children of Israel with the leeks and the onions. And they forget the slavery. You know, it's easy to look back on our sinful past and remember those few pleasurable moments, not realizing all of the anguish and sorrow and bitterness that it created that the gospel has now removed. And so when we look back on that, we forget the most critical part. But worse than that, we betray God's trust. Whenever we're wavering, they didn't waver. So when Abraham was called, he went out. When God made a promise, that was the end of it. He didn't waver. He didn't wonder, can I trust God? You know, I've given up a lot to serve God. I've given up a lot. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and nothing's happening. Now he waits until he's almost 100 years old. Not being weak in faith, because he trusted God's faithfulness. Trusting God's faithfulness is the foundation of our own faithfulness. When we start to waver on that, our own faithfulness starts to waver as well. Now, being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Those were facts. But he didn't care because this world is not his home. And he knew whom he was serving. So verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You remember when Peter's out on the water and he starts to sink and Jesus says to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He did not waver at the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, we're doing the same thing today with the resurrection. We're doing the same thing today with our hope of heaven. And we have the same opportunities to waver. We have the same opportunities to wonder. We have the same opportunities to question whether these sacrifices are worth it. And we've all known people who've made the decision, they aren't worth it. I'm going back to the world. And most of us look at them and we shake our heads and we feel sorry for them. because we understand what they've given up, because we are not going to waver. We know God is faithful. We know that it's impossible for God to lie, and he promised eternal life before the world began. So Abraham was faithful by trusting God's faithfulness. Are we? Are we faithful? Do you find yourself wondering at night, you ever waver? When we're taking the Lord's Supper, did he really die on the cross? You ever think like that? It's the core of our faithfulness. Now, the final thing, which is very interesting, is every time God gave Abraham a tough command, look at this one. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael and all the men of his house. So God appears to him. I don't know if it was in the morning or even in the afternoon, but at some point in that day, God came to him and said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to make of you a nation. You need to be circumcised. All of you need to be circumcised. How long did he wait? Very same day. That's faithfulness. That's what God would like to see. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. That's faithfulness. You know, when I turn on the TV, I expect it to come on. When I turn on the hot water, I expect it to come quickly. When I turn on the key, I expect it to start. When God gives a command, he expects responses. And the more quickly we respond, the more faithful we are. And the more we waver and wonder and procrastinate and think about it, and oh, I'm going to get to it. God notes that. That's not like our father Abraham. So, are we like Abraham? We too were called. And if you're a Christian here today, you went. You were given promises that we're waiting for. We all have difficult commands. They're not difficult in the sense of grievous, but some commands are harder than others. Some commands take a lot more effort on our part just because we're not good at them or we're not comfortable with them and we struggle with them. So at this point in the lesson, are we faithful? Would you consider yourself a faithful Christian? Would you consider yourself to be someone God can rely on? And that regardless of what God brought into your life, and I know we have to be humble here because we don't know what God could bring in our life, but God will never tempt us above what we're able, or never allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. So I hope we all have that attitude. Hezekiah is a fascinating man. He was faithful. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, in the law, in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So he prospered. After these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came, and he and Isaiah prayed, and God said, I'm going to spare you. But part of the reason why is right here. We need to be faithful to the Lord before the waters come, before a situation arises where now God, we are counting on God's faithfulness, but if we haven't been faithful, as we talked about in our class this morning, behold the severity, the goodness and severity of God. We always want to count on his goodness. But if we fall, we can't count on that goodness. We can only count on severity. So what did he do? In every work he began in the service of the house of God. That's exactly what we're doing. The Lord's church is dependent on the faithful attitudes of all of the people who are here. Are we like Hezekiah? Would you say that as far as you're concerned in the Lord's church, you begin and you're going to do it with all your heart? That's what God wants to see. That's what he saw in David. I've sought a man after my own heart who will do all my will. That's a faithful man as far as God is concerned. That's what the sun does. The sun does all of God's will. That's what the moon does. That's what climate. That's what summer, winter, day and night, which will not cease. They fulfill the expectations of God. We, with our free will, get to make that choice. And as you look back on your life, are you part of the problem or part of the solution? Are you part of the reason why this congregation is strong and stable, or are you part of the reason why it's not strong and it's not stable? Because it's the brethren in the local congregation that are going to determine the faithfulness of that congregation. And the Hebrew writer says that we need to be watching out for that root of bitterness that can defile the many. And you don't want to be that, and I don't want to be that. But you know, Hezekiah slipped. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown to him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself. I think about Hezekiah a lot. I don't know if you do or not. You remember him. He's the one who Isaiah came and said, "Set your house in order, for the Lord has decreed that it's time for you to die. It's time for you to go." Now, when you look at this verse, you can see what a favor God was doing to him. He was going to allow him to leave at the very height of his faithfulness so that he could go on to his eternal reward with no regrets and nothing to look back with shame about. But Hezekiah begged and pleaded, and God relented. But look at verse 25. He did not repay according to the favor shown to him. Sometimes we pray for things and we receive them, but instead of it bringing us closer to God, it pulls us away. Hezekiah started off so well, and then he slipped. Now it would appear from verse 26 that he repented and he humbled himself for the pride of his heart. And I suspect we'll see him in heaven, because it appears that he took care of that. But what a heartbreak, what a disappointment that Hezekiah was allowed or chose to make that kind of a decision. So we can trust God's faithfulness. Can he trust ours? Have we set our hearts to be faithful to God, no matter how much it costs us, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult the circumstances? For he himself has said, "I will never leave you, nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" But can the Lord boldly say, "I have no servant"? Remember what he said about Job? "I have no one like him at all. Perfect and upright man." He knew Job would not fail him, and he didn't. Now, Job was crushed, but he held fast to his integrity. He questioned God, but he never forsook him. He never cursed him. You remember his wife saying, "Curse God and die," and he said to her, "You speak like a foolish woman. Shall we accept the blessings from God and not continue faithfully if problems occur?" This is a verse that I think we all need to maybe spend a lot more time thinking about as the world changes and as the attitude toward righteousness also changes. The prospect of persecution, true persecution, losing your house, losing your life, being put into prison, that specter is much more real than it was 20 years ago. Now, it's not here yet, but this verse is something we need to think about before it comes. "Let, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in well-doing as to a faithful creator. When everything in the world seems to indicate God is not telling the truth, that's when we kick in and we say, I don't really care. I don't need my body. Like Abraham, he didn't need his body to be young and able to have a child. He could use a body that was unable to have a child and still say, I know God's going to do what he said. God is a faithful creator. And so the question for each one of us is, are we going to be a faithful servant? Are we going to be faithful in him? He's counting on, he's relying on us to keep the church pure, to keep our families intact and our families pure, and to be guiding and working with the people in our families, the people in our congregation, the people out in the world. He's relying on us to, as we have opportunity, speak God's word as we can. So we can trust him, but again, the question, can he trust ours? And I think that's an important challenge for all of us. Now, I have one slide left, and before I get to it, because it talks about the rewards of faithfulness, where are we? Is this sermon making you happy? Comfortable? Is this sermon filling our hearts with zeal and determination to maybe go up to the next level? Is this sermon causing us to feel maybe uncomfortable, maybe unhappy? Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. I don't know what the future holds. Does it matter? Are we going to be faithful come what may? If the whole world falls apart, if we have to go through what Noah did, if we have to go through what Lot did, are we ready? Are we going to be faithful no matter what? If the nation continues and we get to enjoy prosperity, you remember the psalmist or the proverb is saying, give me neither poverty nor riches. Both of them are dangerous. But we're going to stay faithful. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Now, we started with this. We're going to end with this. It is God's faithfulness that makes ours. If we're confident in God's faithfulness, then we're going to be faithful. If we start wavering, if we start wondering, as we consider now, what do we do? What needs to be done? What does this sermon have? How has this sermon impacted us? Do we need to make any changes? Do we need to be more faithful? Are there things we haven't been doing? Has there been any unease as the sermon's going on? Are we intent on keeping this church pure, keeping this church exactly the way that the Lord wants it to be? Are we prepared, whenever an opportunity comes, to talk to somebody about the Lord, to jump in and talk to them about the Lord? Are there things that we are not as faithful as we used to be? I can't answer that question for you, but God would like you to ask that question. God would like you to respond properly. And so as we pick up our song of encouragement this evening, we're going to be singing number 330, which is Just As I Am. And isn't it wonderful that the faithfulness of God is not determined by my faithfulness? God's promises are based on his love, his mercy, and his faithfulness. If you're here as a Christian tonight and you are not living the way a Christian should live, God is pleading, be reconciled to me before it's too late. If you're not yet a Christian, then you need to trust in the Lord and come out like Abraham and allow God to become your God and allow yourself to become his faithful servant. If we can be of any help to you in any way, we invite you to come now while we together stand and sing.